This is a podcast from Minute Media.
We don't, you know what? We don't even need a cat. What is up, Pewter Peeps? We didn't need no damn introduction music.
We don't need no stinking badges.
No stinking badges. Welcome to the Pewtercast postgame here on this Thursday night as we talk a little bit about another Buccaneers win. Ren's got a frosty beverage in hand. That's right. Get it down there, buddy. You can hear him. If you're listening on the pewtercast.com or on the podcast, you can tell Ren is
my apologies.
Happy. You can tell Ren is very happy right now, sucking down some suds there as he gets in here. Happy Thursday night, Ren.
Happy Thursday. I am a walking zombie. That's why we're a little late, even for us, or I should say for us. I'm sitting there. First off, I streamed the game, so I'm probably a good minute behind, maybe a minute and a half anyway. And the game ends, and I'm watching Brady shake hands with everybody, and I turn the TV off, and then I look over at my computer, and all my pod stuff set up, and I go,
uh-oh.
Oh yeah.
So
I'm in the middle of a real long work week, and I was telling Steve before the whole 30 seconds we talked before we went live, I'm kind of cranky boots, but yeah, good win. I thought that the Bucs offense looked good. The Bucs defense looked good. I think the only time when the offense stalled is when the Bucs were just trying to do something. Like, hey, we want to run the ball here. Hey, we want to try this play. It felt like they were trying things out for later down the road. I absolutely did not like going for it on fourth down. It was just, this is the third time we've been here at midfield, fourth and less than three. Now I'm finally going for it. And I thought it was like hubris, and I thought it was dumb. And it ended up not biting him in the butt, but it got Philly back into it and made the score much closer than it actually was. But yeah, just nice overall. Everybody, and who had a bad game? I don't know. Kappa, maybe?
And yeah, Kappa.
It wasn't bad. It was just not as good as everybody else's.
I can tell you that Jamel Dean and Mike Edwards had bad games only because they gave up 95 yards in penalty.
Yeah,
yards.
I thought Dean played. I mean, he had a Dean, like his whole career was just in that game.
Yeah,
like one terrible. Well, the penalty. It wasn't ticky tacky, but it wasn't as bad as it looked live. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Then they didn't get him on the one in the end zone, which he definitely pass interfered.
Yeah.
But then he had a pick, and he had like three pass breakups. It's like that's total Jamel Dean, big plays, pass breakups, looks like a definite upper echelon top half of the league cornerback, and then he's just like, oh, and he got a touchdown and like 200 yards and penalties, but an interception and three breakups, like so I don't know. What did you think?
I thought going back to the fourth down calls, there was one earlier on in the game where it was fourth and two, and then they respotted the ball, and it was about fourth and just over a yard. And I was like, this is the one you go for.
The first one?
The first one.
Yeah.
I was okay. I would have been like, I'd have gone.
Because you had so much time to make up. If it went wrong, you had practically the whole game to make up for it.
Not only that, you've got number 12 with Ryan Jensen in front of him. And they did it at the end of the game where they had Brady sneak for the first down.
Yeah.
I'd have done it there.
Yeah, I was wondering where that was, where the sneak has been all year. Because I thought a couple times this game, like, okay, like, just break it right here and do it. But, again, you know, the defense, I thought I thought Todd Bowles had a very good defensive plan for what, at least I thought, and most people, you know, if you actually think about those type of things, what Philadelphia is going to come try out to do. Like, hey, you need to do some RPOs and do some old Cam Newton Panther ISO with Jalen Hurts. Like, and they came out, and it was definitely on their game plan. And after about three plays, they went, yeah, we're not doing that anymore. And then Philadelphia, as I was told by Josh on our Wednesday show just yesterday, how that they do play a lot of screens. You know, they throw a lot of bubble screens and stuff like that. And in the few that they tried, the Bucs were all over it. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, Wes Cockrell almost had a pick six out of one.
Yeah, so bright side going forward, I don't think teams, you know, better teams, you know, that have, you know, better weapons at the receiver and the quarterback positions, if they try to do that screen game, you know, that Dallas did for sure, and the Rams did a little bit. Patriots did it too, but they used the middle of the field as well. I think that Bowles has now sort of figured up and dialed up the way to beat that. So that was really nice to see.
I really liked the way that Shaq Barrett played. I mean, you saw him chasing after Jalen Hurts for most of the first half of the game.
Oh, Shaq Barrett was all over the place.
He was everywhere in that first half. I was like, that was incredible. The stop that Vita Vea made on Sanders the first half. Like, he's going headlong, full speed into the hole. Vita Vea, like, grabs him by one hand, stop.
Yeah, he just tossed the center like he was like a 5-pound sack of flour. Just like, boop.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then stepped right in the lane. Yeah, it was, I mean, I remember.
Sure, you're in my spot.
Like, I knew Vita Vea was strong because I've said this many times on past pods that he's like one of like seven people to put up over 50 reps at the combine, you know, the 225. So he did that, obviously. And then he did, I think it was his rookie year. And what we saw tonight, he did that to Derrick Henry. Except it wasn't so much in space. It was like there was a lot more people around, and the announcer or the commentators really didn't pick it up. But yeah, he had the guard with one arm, and Derrick Henry came in to run by him, and he stuck his other arm out, and he just bear hugged them both. And it's Derrick Henry.
Excuse me.
You know, and a 330-pound offensive lineman, you know, and they both just came to a screeching halt, and I was just like, whoa.
But, can I stop you for a second, Mr. Henry?
Excuse me.
You can stop here. So I liked Shaq Barrett. I liked Vita Vea. I thought that getting O.J. Howard involved in the first half,
it's good to see,
was fantastic. Getting him a touchdown on the first drive, and I loved the fact that they didn't wait to, you know, the Eagles didn't let them wait to establish. You know, we always talk about, you know, deferring in the you know, and how BA wants the ball.
Give me the ball.
Well, he didn't have a choice. He got the ball. And when you get when you don't have a choice and you get the ball, it's great to see him ran the ball down their throats for the first touchdown. I mean, I was out getting dinner. I was picking up dinner for my wife at the time, and like I walked in right before kickoff, and by the time I had gotten out back to my car, they had already scored their touchdown. I was like, Jesus. Like, that they wasted no time going down the field for that first touchdown.
Are you saying you walked into the restaurant to pick up the food at kickoff?
Yes.
And by the time it took them to give you your to-go order, you to pay for it and walk back to your car, sit down and turn on the radio, they'd already scored.
They had already scored the touchdown. Nice. That was really impressive. That they one of the things that they went down there and shoved the ball down the Eagles' throat to start things and really dictated the pace. You know, if we see 60 minutes from the Buccaneers of what we saw in the first half, if they play two first halves, that game's like 48-10. You know, they're not anywhere close to 28-22.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, and then the Eagles came out and they sputtered, and then the Bucs came out and they got the ball, and then they drove it all the way down the field and scored. And then Philly got their second touchdown, and there was, like, you know, like 3 minutes left in the third, and the Bucs only had the ball one time. So
yeah.
it's just the kind of the way it goes. And then, you know, then I'm not going to sit here and say it was questionable play calling, but it was, you know, there was a couple of things. And even on the fourth down play, like, why are you throwing the double coverage O.J. Howard? There's got to be a better, and it wasn't even a good pass.
Yeah.
But
well,
there's,
and the play before, the tight end on the other side, who was Brait, was open on the left side when he threw to the right on third down that was incomplete. There was the tight end on the other side was open, and I was like, well, look to your left. He's wide. I mean, he ran just a little dinky out route that, you know, beyond the marker. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, but we're just nitpicking at this point, you know.
At no point
in the game was I worried that this was going to, you know, like, no. After the first drive, and then after, I should say Philly's second or third drive, because the first drive, obviously they scored, but, you know, it was like, what was it, 55 yards in penalties? Had him in third and 12 twice. One was an offsides, and Hurts ran for a first down on a scramble. Yeah. And then the next set of downs, they had him third and 12 again. They threw a bomb into a pass interference play. So, I mean, so after sort of like the third time Philly had the ball, I'm like, yeah, this is not going to go well for Philly.
No. Like, unless they get a whole bunch of pass interference penalties. You look at it, the two of the big play, the two big drives they had were helped by pass interference penalties. One in the first half, one in the second.
All three. Well, not all three pass interference, but you know, Bucks shooting themselves in the foot.
Mm-hmm.
2 50-plus-yard pass interference penalties and going for it on fourth and three when you knew the way the defense was playing. I just punt it down there, you know. But nope, I want to put the nail in the coffin now. What's the downside? Well, Eagles get right back in the game. Well, yeah. You know, just punt it. Just punt it.
Yeah.
But
except the one time fourth and one where they should have gone for it.
Sure.
Early on.
Yes, the proper call was... The one that I wanted them not to go for was the proper call, and the one you wanted them to go for was the improper call.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Or the other way around.
Did I say it wrong?
No, well, the one they went for was the improper call, and the one that I wanted them to go for was
what did they win by? Six? Oh, ooh, glad I teased that.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was talking to my former boss, John Mamola, after the game. He's like, I'm new to this, but... Is that called a bad beat? And I said, yeah, unless you teased it down.
Like Ren told you to.
Like Ren and I did. we both teased down the Buccaneers 7 points.
Who was the leading receiver for the Bucs, or I guess in the game?
My guess was Antonio Brown. He was 9 for 91 and a score. Let me pull up the box score here in just a second.
Yeah.
But if you want to be a part of this and give us your reactions, Ren has the link in the comments here on YouTube. You can always check that out. For the Buccaneers, the leading 9 for 93 and a score. 13 targets for Antonio Brown. After that, it was, you know, there was not a whole lot of Mike Evans or Chris Godwin. Evans, 4 targets total, 2 catches for 27 yards. One of them was a 22-yard play that went for a first down. Godwin, 5 targets. He caught all 5 passes for 43 yards. His long was 16. And then Leonard Fournette, 6 targets, 6 catches, 46 yards. And O.J. Howard, 7 targets, 6 catches for 49 yards. And a
okay, all I did was ask if Antonio Brown was the leading receiver. That's all I asked. Okay, thank you. What, including the Eagles?
Oh, I don't even, you know, who cares about the Eagles?
I do, because that's the bet.
Yes, he was.
Okay, thank God. Okay. There's $70 in my pocket. All right.
Well, there you go. Nobody in Philly, nobody on Philly had more than 44 yards receiving. That was Quez Watkins.
Yeah. They all came on one play, probably. Anywho.
Most of them did.
Are we ready to get to Corey? Corey.
Corey's best.
You can't see the people in the lobby?
No, I can't see the people in the lobby.
Really?
Yeah, only you have that.
All right, I got to let you get in. Oh, okay, I got to start giving you the password and stuff. Okay, well, we're going to switch up, and we're going to go to Bucks Win Banner. We're going to bring Corey up, switch it up, and there he is. He's sitting in the dark all by himself, crying.
Always.
Nah, just playing magic.
What's up, man? How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Happy Thursday, Corey.
Appreciate it, man. Hey, first I want to apologize for Sunday. My phone... it was charging and I was driving, as you knew, and the car got too hot. The charger got too hot for some reason. It cut off.
But it's okay.
Because I was on my way to my men's league because I played in the men's league. I will say I scored 40 in that game.
40?
So yeah, I went off. Back in the day,
Did you have a triple double? Can we?
I don't know.
Did you mess around and get a triple double?
Four rebounds and like 6 or 7 assists. But back in the day, I was a really good basketball player, so I should still try to live through those dreams. But anyway,
I was never a good basketball player, but I used to be a lot thinner than I am now, and I used to be able to run. That was my coaches loved me because I could run. So I led the state in floor birds, I think.
So, I just don't want to take up your time. And your
go,
thoughts.
Corey. What's up, man? Let's hear it.
So let's positives. Leonard Fournette is becoming something that you're going to have to start game planning for, which is going to be a ridiculous element to our offense. He's starting to be able to catch those little 4 or 5 yard passes he catches. They're starting to add up, and his ability to run in light boxes is really going to add up. And you know,
and he was so excited about that when he signed. He's like, "Watch what I can do." Against, you know, without 8 men in the box. Like, he tweeted it out, and I was like, oh, yeah, that, you know, this will be exciting. And then it didn't happen.
Well, to be fair, you know, that it came out early this year how bad he struggled with his mental health because he really wanted to finish in Jacksonville. He wanted to bring that team over the top. And he felt like when he was released, it took a lot of his, not pride, but his confidence.
Right.
And he struggled. Mojo. Remember, he was like a healthy scratch twice last season.
I know.
And his struggle with his confidence and your mental health is a big thing, right? So now we're seeing a strong, confident a first round running back. Who's how old is he? 26? Is he even 20? I don't even think he's 27. He's like 26 years old.
I have no idea.
He's in that area.
Yeah, the completeness of his game is starting. He's starting to become an issue. For other teams, on top of Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Cam Brate, O.J. Howard, Gronkowski. So, like, offensively, we do look a little smoother. A positive would be the defense. Todd Bowles, he knew exactly what this team wanted to do.
He had him ready.
Yeah, we were really prepared. Now, we don't have players that are going to make a ton of plays because, quite frankly, if that's Carlton Davis or even Richard Sherman, that's probably a pick six that Ross Cockrell dropped. He read the play perfectly. He should have. I don't know. I look back at that play. I rewound it and everything. I'm like, how did he drop? I don't know how he dropped the ball.
He's gonna have nightmares about that one.
Right. That's just the tier, the levels in this. And when you're a pro athlete, you're in certain tiers, and certain players are gonna make that play. Even if you look on the other side of the ball, Darius Slay probably intercepts that ball. And it just happens. But schematically, we were where we supposed to be. And I'm very happy about that these coaches are able to get these guys prepared to take advantage of teams' weaknesses and make them do things. Like, we did a really good job of keeping Jalen Hurts in the box. I mean, in the pocket. Except for his touchdown run, which was weird. I don't know what JPP and Devin White were doing. Look, I don't know if it was supposed to be a twist and keep the contain. But whatever. I'm not going to apologize for winning a professional game ever. And also, think about where we are, guys. To me, like you mentioned it a little bit, Ren, at the beginning of the show, when you said, like, I think we were trying things out for the weeks ahead. Think about where we are as a franchise. We're able to do that. When have we ever been able to do that?
I know.
Every single down has mattered to the utmost in our games the last 15 years, right? Mm-hmm. When's the last time we had a lead in a game? Yeah, 28-7. We were up 28-7. They really couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And it's like, offensively, I feel like, okay, we're going to rest. let's get ready for Chicago because they presented some problems last year defensively, the offense. But like I said, them light boxes, man, if Leonard Fournette can run through them light boxes, he's going to completely change the dynamic of this team. And I'm fine with that. I am fine with Tom Brady not having to throw the ball 50 times a game. I really am.
Oh, yeah.
If we can keep him 40, 44 passes, just because of our offense dictates that, and he can complete over 60% of those passes, he's going to be so healthy and his arm is going to continue to stay strong. And that's, I don't want to talk. I know I'm sitting here monologuing, but.
No. Hey, I got a question for you, because this is what I've been thinking about kind of all week, because I was staring at the Antonio, like, who's going to have the most yardage in this game? And I knew it was going to be a Buccaneer. And I'm sitting there staring at it. You know, and of course, there's like, of course, it's the big three, right? It's like, are you picking Brown? Right. Are you picking Evans? Are you picking Godwin? Like, you know, well, it depends on what kind of defense they play. I don't think it does anymore. So what I'm going to ask you is, including like all the skill positions on offense, running back, tight end, wide receiver, rate who you think Brady's favorite is, starting with the favorite first. And you can phrase it, he trusts the most when he has to have it, that's where he's going, you know. Yes, and of course that
go,
includes Gronk. I'm letting you know, like, you don't have
okay,
to, like,
it includes yeah. Gronk. Okay, so it's, I'm gonna be honest, it's gonna go Gronk.
Yep.
Then it's gonna go AB.
Yep.
Then it's probably gonna go check down, and then Godwin and Evans. That's what I'm seeing. I'm just being honest.
So where do you put Howard and Brayton? That, like, who do you put above?
Tight ends are gonna be below Evans.
No, I know that, but who do you put higher, Brayton or Howard?
So I'm gonna go. All right, so then I'm gonna go Evans, Brayton, Howard. And when I say check down, I have to include our third, whoever's in there, third down running back.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I got.
To be honest, the targets dictate for it to be Antonio Brown high out of the receiving corps, because ever since he joined the team, he's led the team in targets.
Yeah,
so that's
weird,
not
right?
going to change. It's just not going to change. Yeah. He's quick twitch, and you know Brady gets the ball out of his hands quickly. So he's quick twitch, right? Whether he's on the outside, inside, he really good hands. Chris Godwin now is becoming he's past Evans in that effect, because he's a little more. He's not as quick twitch as Antonio Brown, but he's quicker than Mike Evans. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing with Mike Evans, he's a possession receiver.
He's been turned into one.
Yeah, and to be fair to him, he said over the course of so many podcasts that people don't understand how hard it is for somebody his size to be as agile as maybe an Antonio Brown. He said it on there's a podcast he did a couple weeks ago. The wide receiver got fired from Fox Sports.
I don't know.
Eyebrows. Damn, why come up with his name all of a sudden?
Frida.
Frida. So Chris
Carter.
Chris
Carter. So he was on
that
his podcast.
Eyebrows.
He mentioned that.
Good.
And with Tom Brady, man, and it's no knock to Tom Brady, it's how he operates. He doesn't take sacks. He gets the ball out of his hand. I get it. That is not what Mike Evans is used to. His quarterback for the most of his longevity of his career holds onto the ball, try to get it, boom, boom, boom. And I get that. But that's not Tom Brady's style. He's going to throw it to the open man. And I am comfortable with that. I'm comfortable with it. So, and that's my pecking order. Evans is probably fifth or sixth in that, just because of how the game is dictated.
Right.
Like,
yeah, I don't disagree. I didn't really use the check down as sort of like a be all end all, but you know, as in like throwing everybody into that box. But but I get it and I understand it, and the rules will allow it. But yeah, I think you're spot on. It's Gronk, and will always be Gronk until they both die. But I think AB's number two right now, and probably has been since sort of like the playoff run. You know.
How much of that though does the defense kind of dictate that though? Because he's in the slot, he's normally going to get
I firmly believe. Well, he didn't get that last week. He got Xavier Howard most of the game.
No, you're right about that.
Corner. So I firmly believe it's the style that Brady has been
BRB, his AFK.
AB is extremely quick. He's a quick twitch player. He gets in and out his cuts quick. Brady wants that ball gone in 2 seconds or less. So that's what he's going to do. He processes that, and he's going to get there unless the play dictates for like a deep end cutting route, or Mike Evans beats his man clearly off the line, which he dictates that as well. But I just, I agree. I wanted it to be a matchup thing. But I'm gonna be honest. Last week showed me that it is not a matchup thing. It's not a matchup thing because Xavien Howard, most teams are not going to throw at him nine times, and he got burned like every time. But I think it's what he wants. It's how he sees it and how he processes information. Boom, quick, get the ball out. Boom, quick, get the ball out. If we end up it with a punt, I'm cool. If I got 39 and I throw it to this check down for 5 yards, I'll punt the ball. And that's just Tom Brady. And you got to respect that. I'm sorry. I kept you guys too long.
You're good. I just have one question. So you think that that AB's so high up in the trust chain or have to go to chain is because his feet are elite and he can get separation the quickest because that's the way Tom's tempo is?
Yes. That's what I think that is. And Gronk is, I mean, come on.
They shared a womb at this point.
Right. I don't think I got to explain that. But and then the way AB just gets off. If you look at even the game in New England, man, where we really struggled to stay on the field after those first few series. We struggled a little bit. They switched up their coverage. He had to hold the ball longer than he wanted to. And I think them playing dime most of the game dictated how we were going to pass the ball. But he didn't. Yeah. He didn't force it. He was taking checkdowns. That's Tom Brady, and I have to respect that because we dealt with such a volatile quarterback for so long at that position. You have to respect that we can win a game with zero TD passes and zero interceptions. You got to respect that.
That's so true. We did. We won a game with one touchdown on the run,
right
on the ground.
Yeah, a run. That's his game, man. That's why Brown is going to continue to dictate those targets on third down. Now, if Godwin and Evans beat their man, that dictates who the ball is going to. If Evans just beats his man off the line, boom. All right, we're going to go there. That's easy. 6'5". But you know, outside of that,
man. Corey's phone charger got too hot again. Well, yeah. Corey, next time we talk to you,
I'm sorry.
What? Are you here? I don't know.
He was in.
What? Hey? Okay.
Nope. Extremely stiff. This was his best game of the year.
Nope.
Can you guys hear me? Can you hear me?
I do. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Last
point. You got to wrap it up, Corey. 30 seconds. We're going to commercial.
Good. Shaq Barrett, I'm very encouraged by what I saw tonight. Best game of the season.
Yeah.
Going forward, look for him to be his old impactful self. Very impressed. Go Bucks.
Thanks, Corey. Dipped out. Prime, hope you're paying attention because you're coming right up. Prime.
Hey, what's up, man?
This is Prime. Steve, this is Prime. Prime, this is Steve. Prime's also a very, very knowledgeable caller.
Love that.
Calls in all the time. He's very excited. I like him a lot because he always laughs at my jokes. So, what do you got, Prime?
He's the only one that laughs at your jokes. I've laughed at all your jokes.
Don't get your feelings hurt, Mr. Sensitive.
So what's up, Prime? Oh, man. All right, so a couple things. First of all, I want to respond to the conversation you just had with the last caller, right?
Yeah.
Because
Corey.
With Corey, yeah. So I disagree, right? And here's what I disagree with. I think there's a narrative that people like to have, right? Not just because it's easy to say, hey, Brady's favorite guy is AB or great, or like you said, favorite / most trusted / whatever.
Right.
Is AB. Let's take Gronk out of the picture. They're basically brothers. So, and I say this is a narrative because if you look at the number of targets that each of them is getting, game to game, it's different. Overall, Evans has more targets than anybody, but he was also target heavier on week one and two. But if you go back to last week, Evans was targeted 8 times. AB was targeted 8 times. Both of them had stellar games. All right. Tonight, AB was targeted more than anybody. I believe he had 12, 13 targets, right, to everybody else's whatever it was. So I don't think that it's that Brady just loves AB so much, or he just wants to go to AB. Sometimes Brady does, and this is, he's the GOAT. Sometimes Brady does lock onto a certain player for a game. And he will do that. We saw him do it with Evans in week two or three, right? Mm-hmm. He kept trying to go to Evans, Tonight, there was a play that wound up being a turnover on downs, I believe, and Evans was wide open. So when the other caller says, if Evans get open, he'll get the ball, that's not always true. Brady, that was actually Brady's first read. He came off of it really quickly, too quickly, and Evans wound up completely wide-ass open. Right? Brady just flat-out missed him. And whoever
we should get rid of that guy. We should get rid of that guy.
I've been saying that, man. I'm telling you.
He can't read a defense. He overthrows people in critical situations.
You would think with as much
ugly.
Time as he's had. Oh, yeah.
You think it would have clicked by now. You know what I mean?
Exactly. All right. Well, what about this game? What did you see? What did you like? What didn't you like? What's going on?
So what I liked, what I liked was when the offense is clicking, I don't think there's a defense in the league that can actually stop them. Yeah. I just don't. And add in the fact that whatever nickname he's going by this week, Lenny is becoming the running back that we wanted to draft, right?
Yeah,
somebody who he's becoming the running back we wanted to draft. He's not some all-world running back, but he accounted for 140 plus yards tonight, two touchdowns. Wow. He's over 100 yards
in total offense 3 weeks in a row.
See, I didn't know that. That's amazing.
Yeah, he's becoming like a must start in fantasy football. How crazy is that?
That is, I was thinking that tonight. I was like, I need to go look at what his fantasy stats are. I'm just curious. But it's gotten to the point where, and I wonder if y'all are the same, when he throws to Lenny, I look forward to the throw to Lenny. I'm like, look, just check it down to Lenny. And I will get disappointed if Lenny doesn't make a play with the ball afterwards.
Right.
Saw it a lot tonight.
Yeah, this was probably the best I've seen him look in space as a Buccaneer. And I didn't watch a lot of Jacksonville. I hated him at LSU. I thought he was a turd, but I'm a Gator fan, so everybody wearing purple and gold are turds. But, when it was on that swing pass and it was like, oh, because it's been so many years of like, oh, swing pass Peyton Barmer, he's down. Oh, swing pass to Dare, okay, he's tackled by the first guy. You know, I was always pining away for Charles Sims because Charles Sims always made the first guy miss. And then we'd swing it out to Ronald Jones or Fournette, and the first guy would tackle him, and it's like, where's Gio? He always makes the first guy miss. And then the past couple of weeks, especially this game where, you know, I think Joe Buck said, you know, like he sheds that tackle and was like, we'll say Mr. X like wasn't even close because it looked like it was going to be like maybe a 1 yard gain. He shook a tackle, then he juked somebody out of his shoes, then got a first down and carried a guy for like 5 yards. And it was like, where has this been?
Yeah. Welcome to the land of the passing game there, Lenny.
Right. I'm looking at it now and I'm like, I think even he's running harder after contact. Like there are moments you see when, and it's weird. I actually think he runs harder after contact on catches than he does on runs. But he'll get the ball and then he just decides, okay, I'm just going to go through this guy.
Yeah,
you know, and he goes through them like he should at his size. Man, it's we've missed this in Tampa for two decades. I don't know the last running back.
That went through people?
Mike also.
That was a weapon in the passing game as well.
Oh. Well, that's something I've talked about. Like, Allstott's rookie year, Sam Weiss's last year, he caught like 70 passes. And then they never threw him the ball more than like 20 times a year. And it was like, what? Remember Allstott out on the edge? Allstott out on the edge in space. Who's going to tackle you? A cornerback. Like, are you kidding me? Like he would pick up 12 yards, like it was making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. His rookie year,
Allstott and orange.
Yeah, Allstott and orange, man. And then Tony Dungy comes in, and it's like,
what did he get in space?
Yeah, he was fucking amazing in space. Oops, excuse me. But I mean, you know, Warwick Dunn could catch, but somebody that was a, I guess a true weapon, like, I'm going to go, even though, you know, they didn't use him a lot, I'm going to go back to Charles Sims, because I thought, like, Charles Sims couldn't run the ball to save his life. I can run the ball and get more yards. You give me the ball five times, give Charles Sims the ball five times, I will get more yards than Charles Sims, okay? I will. You throw five, you know, bubble screens.
The whole Ren needs is not going to be anywhere
It's like it needs to be like the width of a 2x4, like a whoop, like I'll get right through there. Just fall forward 3 yards, no problem. But Charles Sims I challenge anyone show me, go back, look at a clip, put it on Twitter, tag me in it, and if you show me getting Charles Sims out in space in a pass play and the first guy tackles him, I will give you $20. He always makes the first guy
doing
miss.
It right now.
Go ahead, yeah. Hey, Twitter. Somebody, hey, Google, Twitter. Charles Sims passing highlights.
Somebody on Twitter is about to ruin your day, bro.
For $20, I'll gladly give it to him. Like, seriously.
Hey, as much money as Ren has won on BetUS this year.
Yes.
Already, he can afford the $20.
Yeah, he can afford the loss. And here's the question I have. Do you agree with me or disagree with me on this? I think that JTS needs to be playing, at least during this injury, needs to be playing over JPP. And I don't even think it's close, actually.
Wow.
Okay.
I mean, that's strong. That's a strong take.
Okay. I'm going to rephrase it and put something. Does he need to be? No. Should he be? If everything was fair in the world, is he playing better than Jason Pierre-Paul? Yes, he is. But we're winning, and he's the vet. And he's the guy that got you there. Like, you know, we add those things into it. You don't want to embarrass him. It might be it'll be last year with the team. And he's not playing terrible. It's just that JTS is playing really well. And it's close. It's close. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, I see him on the field a lot at the same time. So it's not like an either-or thing as well. They've been pushing JPP inside. And keeping Tryon there. Tryon's like playing. I saw him playing slot corner last week. Yes. It's like, what? What is going on?
There was a rep at he played out of the flat that actually was pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty freaking good.
He was the only guy who even came close to tracking down. I mean, he was actually gaining on Hurts tonight. Everyone else, Hurts was pulling away from everybody else, and it was like, oh, here comes Tryon, and you know he'd either get down or, like, he knew he was coming. Like Hurts, after a couple of plays of pressure from JTS, knew that he could not outrun him.
Now I'll say this: this is when I know it sounds like a strong take, but I'm not slighting JPP. It's just that.
Yes, you are.
No, listen, this is, I swear, I'm not trying to slight JPP. It's just that with the club on his hand, I saw it last week, I saw it tonight. With the club on his hand, there are some times he completely cannot get off the block. And then there are times, I know last week, and more last week I saw it, and I saw it a little tonight, where he just can't close the sack because he can't wrap him up.
Like, right.
You know what I mean? And so even when he gets home, he can't close the deal. When I see Tryon in there, Tryon, he has a lot of plus reps.
He does.
Yes,
and
he does.
He affects the game. He will make the quarterback go away from his side due to pressure. And so, and to your point, JPP is the vet. JPP is, you know, he brings a certain thing to the defense that we don't have a lot of people that bring that same – the same type of energy.
Mm-hmm.
He can bring that, and I don't think it has to be an embarrassing thing for him to, like, listen, your hand is broken or whatever's wrong with it. While you're mending, the rook is just going to get more reps. Not that JPP's not going to play, but why trying to get reps only helps us in the playoffs. The more reps he gets and the better he gets at hunting the quarterback, we need that.
Are you going to try to sell JPP, I'm saving you for the Super Bowl speech?
let's say not. We don't have to say the Super Bowl. We can say the back quarter of the season, right? We just want him to get
the home stretch.
Yeah, there we go.
I, I like the idea of telling JPP, okay, we're up three touchdowns here. Let's get you a little bit of extra time to rest and recover. Say, and maybe it's just a drive. Maybe it's just one drive. Okay, we're going to give you this drive off, and we're going to let JTS take this. You know, and if he handles well, have another drive. Right. Have another drive off. It's not like they're taking money out of your pocket. You're still. It's not like you get paid by the hour, JPP. You're active for the game. You're going to get a game check. You're good to go.
I like going that route. That was one of my observations. I just think we need to get JTS as much time on the field as possible.
Yeah.
Because Shaq Barrett would have had more. He probably had 8 or 9 almost sacks tonight. And I think.
It's ridiculous.
It was flat out ridiculous. I think one or two of those become sacks if he has pressure from the other side.
Yeah, you're probably right. But. I'm not necessarily saying that's, but you're making it sound like that's all JPP's fault.
It's not all JPP.
It was all Anthony Nelson's fault, because I'm getting to the point where when I see him on the field, I'm like,
you ask why.
Yeah, it's like why, especially when. It was when they went for it on fourth down, stupid, didn't make it. And then I look out, and it's like Nacho and Anthony Nelson and Kevin Minter. It's like, if they score here, it becomes something. So how about we, get the big boys out there. And
let's leave the real defense out there, who already was struggling in certain ways anyway. Let's let them just finish this off.
Yeah.
Before we send out the Nelsons on the
line. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we send in the clowns.
Yeah, Patrick O'Connor. You've got your Patrick one sack O'Connor, for your career.
Right. I like seeing Patrick O'Connor on special teams.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
On any meaningful down where we within two scores, no. You can keep that. Yeah. I don't need that. If I see him, I think somebody got hurt.
Yeah.
It's kind of like seeing Dee Delaney on the field, which, by the way, yeah. Ugh.
Listen, Dee Delaney was, and this is saying a lot, in a secondary that is extremely injured, in a secondary that had like 120 of penalties or something.
Yeah.
In that secondary, Dee Delaney's crap stood out.
Which is hard.
His suckage level he really raised the bar.
It was bad. I mean, watching him.
You got to have goals.
Watching him get stiff-armed like Chris Conte out of his shoes a couple of years ago. I mean, yes. Dee Delaney might as well just retire now, just like Chris Conte did.
Yeah, Chris Conte retired like at
it's like you're going to get stiff-armed, and now you're going to get stiff-armed into retirement.
I'm going to say this. I do think going forward, the guy, I forget his first name, might be Pierre Desir. I think he can be a good stand-in for a little bit for us. Jamel Dean is the most Jekyll and Hyde cornerback.
He's so feast or famine. He's one extreme or the other. He's either making Pro Bowl plays or he's giving up
the interception. Was perfect.
Yeah.
Interception. Okay.
See what happens when you get your head around, son?
If you could tell him one thing, if you can just teach him one skill. Like, let me just teach you how to turn your head around.
Yeah.
It's a novel concept, but after a certain amount of time, you just kind of look back and just see what's going on, buddy. Just see what's happening. Is the ball coming towards you? Could you do something about it?
Maybe it's a bad throw and it just might fall in your lap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had that play. He had the other one where I forget if it was Rager or Devontae
probably.
Smith. It was either Rager or Smith had to be the cornerback because
Hurts. Oh, it was Smith. Inside. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. He threw it to the wrong shoulder.
Yes. And where they batted the ball.
Like, hello, here's another interception. And Smith had to knock the ball away from him.
Yeah, and I don't even think that ball would have hit Dean in the face, and he never would have got his hands up in time. I mean, he was a little late on spinning around on that, and I think he probably gets a PBU for that, but whatever. Jack, we got to come up with a nickname for Dean, sort of like yin and yang, Jekyll and Hyde.
Something like, because he's earned that.
Yeah.
And it depends
he's like,
on what
he's like. He's like Rondé and Sabby. like one way he's fantastic, you know, borderline Hall of Fame, and the other one you're just watching the back of his jersey as he gets burned.
But you know what? You know what? And I guess this fits with a cornerback. You know what though? His Jekyll and Hyde, unlike some other positions where, you know, the game will start and you'll say, which version of this player did we get today?
Right.
With him, it's which version do we get this play?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's literally play to play. Do we get Hall of Fame level? Great. Do we get, have you played before?
Yeah. Yeah. You don't like the way Dean's playing? Give it 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like the way Dean's playing?
Give it 5 minutes.
He's the Florida weather. He's the Florida weather. If you don't like it, wait 5 minutes. It'll change.
Maybe yes. we can call him Othello.
Othello.
Like did you say Othello? Yeah.
Are you quoting Shakespeare or the board game?
Both. Do you know there's a board game called Othello that has a disc?
I played the board game.
It's a disc piece, and you've played something like it. It's like Parcheesi, but on one side it's black, the other side it's white, and if you put your two white pieces on each side and there's black in the middle, you flip to white, and then when your board fills up, whoever has the most color showing wins. So yin and yang, but then also the Othello Shakespearean play with, you know, with Morse.
Yes. I don't like him.
It all fits.
Listen, it fits him. And you got
bipolar Dean. Thanks, Richard. We're not looking for 2-year-olds to comment. Sorry. Bipolar Dean. We're trying to get a good nickname. I'm sorry, Richard.
I like the Florida weather.
Tired. I do not like the Florida weather, Tom.
Florida. You can't just say Florida weather. If you do a play on weather, you have to play off of it in some other way.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure right now what that would be. Look, I know other people have to get on.
We could call him you can't call him a neutra. Oh no, never mind. I was thinking like there was a particle that had a positive and negative charge, but there's
not. No, there's not.
There's not. So no. I'm dumb.
And what's funny is I've never read the play Othello, so you lost me there.
It's a good
play. For once you lost me, Ren. Usually I'm the one making. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You should. Yeah.
I'm not a huge Shakespeare person. So.
No way.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's not a lot of them out there. I'm not either. I mean, it's like, I mean, it's a little, it's a challenge. You have to sort of be a bit of a sadist to sit down and read Shakespeare.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a battle to read that. But I didn't read it. Well, actually, yeah, I had to read it in high school, and then of course I watched the movie back in the day.
There you go.
Yeah. So anyway.
So I'll say, look, final thoughts here, man. Even with all the little stuff, we're 5-1. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, I actually think that people complaining about execution in the game shows how good this team is.
Exactly.
Because we can be up 28-7 and it's still like, you know, we actually haven't played that well.
We haven't exactly. We're 28-7, and it's like, ooh, it's a third down pass, or why did you go for, or you know, it's like Tonio Brown needs to put new cleats on, like he's costing us, and like you're up 3 scores on the road on a short week in the second half, like with Tonio Brown's costing us our game. It's like, all right, calm down, Shaq Barrett's not good. Getting weighed down by all the money he's making. Oh, he's only run like 600 yards sideline to sideline, chasing down Hurst all day long. Yeah, he's terrible.
I think that's a sign of, I honestly do. I take it as a sign of how good the team is, because people still expect more, right? And so we see you can be up 28-7 while giving the Eagles more yardage and penalties than they had gained themselves.
Yeah.
Right? We're handing them a football field of penalties. And you're still up 3 scores, so the team is a great team, and over the next 5, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, we're not playing a whole bunch of tough competition, so people have time to get healthy.
Yeah.
So, honestly, you know, we're in a good spot. Like we're in a good spot. We're not playing excellent ball or great ball, you know, but they're playing good ball on the offensive side, good to great, and surviving on the defensive side for right now.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we talked about that in the past couple of weeks. Great time for, you know, if your whole secondary is going to go down, the best part of the schedule to do
this
it.
This is the best moment.
And the offense is just going to have to carry the defense, and Todd Bowles is going to have to take some assets that he uses to stop the run game and just drop them back in the secondary a little bit to help them out. And then, you know, we'll roll into the bye week, and everyone wants to get healthy, and we'll come back out and regroup and start keep firing. But in the meantime, it's kind of like, you know, it's the tournament right now. Survive in advance.
Yep.
Survive
in advance. That's it. And I'll last year say this. Going into this year was very different, I think, for all Bucks fans. And I know for me, it was very, very different from the standpoint of I look at the year and I'm like, I am positive we're going to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So even during the season, win or lose, like when we lost to the Rams, I wasn't upset. It exposed some stuff. And I looked at it, I'm like, listen, we were 7-5 at one point last year, and the sky was falling, and we won the Super Bowl. I look at the regular season as preparation for the real season.
Yep.
And so let's get healthy. Let's give people reps that need to get reps so they can help us on our Super Bowl run. And let's figure out what works and what doesn't work on the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. We don't have to be playing our best ball right now in October. We need to be playing our best ball in December and January.
Yep.
So I'm not worried about that. I'm glad to be 5-1. It's a damn good team.
Tweedledeen, Tweedledum?
No, Richard.
It was better than bipolar.
Yeah.
Hey, I appreciate Richard keep taking a swing at it.
Yeah, yeah, he is. Lean Dean, Mean Dean.
Mm. No, I don't like that one either.
Lean Dean, Mean Dean.
No, I like the fellow. Now that you've explained it to me, I like that.
It's okay. It's not my.
You know what?
Out of all of them, it's the best.
It's the best that will put me and Richard in a room, sure. But I mean,
you should workshop it and then throw it out on Twitter for a nickname.
Okay. He is trying. Richard, no one's yelling at you. You're doing great, okay? Is this your brother, Carney?
No, it's not.
Okay. He seems to be very sensitive as well.
I don't have a brother.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'll do next week.
I'm assuming people there are probably some really great ideas out there.
Yeah. People smarter than me. Anyway. All right. Prime, it's been great to see you. Been too long.
Man.
How's everything going?
Man, going well, man. Going well. Wife is good. I have I don't know if you remember, I got a puppy last year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He's grown. He's. Hold up.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Uh-oh, here comes.
Getting a cameo.
We're getting a puppy
he's
cameo.
He's sitting under my desk.
Come on, puppies.
Wake up. So this is, he's now one.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, look at that.
For our listeners, Prime has scraped off the floor a Rottweiler who's 1 year old and his head is as big as his. And if you've never seen Prime, his head is ginormous.
Yes, Prime. That's a polar bear.
That wasn't, yeah, exactly.
That's a bear, that's not a dog.
I didn't know they made a polar bear with those markings.
Adorable.
Anyway. Say bye, Prime. We got one more person before we go. We got to go to bed. I got to go to work. Blah, 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 blah.
All right.
Hey, man. Look, good to see y'all. Steve, man, nice to meet you.
Yeah, it's great meeting you, Prime.
We'll definitely talk again.
Hell yeah.
Later. Bro. Go Bucks.
Thanks, Prime. See you. Nice. Go Bucks.
Hey, before we get to our last let me get the Bet US read in here
Hang on, Daniel.
So Daniel, give us just a second. Ren and I are both 1-0. We both teased the Bucks down as part of I have a two-team parlay.
I do as well.
Did you do two or three?
I did both.
Okay. So I did two. Ren did a two and a three, and we're both one leg in and one leg good to go here on BetUS. For 27 years, the BetUS.com has been paying its players every single week. And with the NFL and college football going right now, we've got those lines. The NHL is also underway now, and you can bet on hockey. The NBA will start up later this month. You can bet on the NBA when that starts. And then UFC, PGA, and Rent's favorite, the ponies.
Ponies.
All available at BetUS.com. If you're watching us on YouTube, there is a promo code under my face. Pewter C, that the letter C and the number 125. It's like PewterCast, but drop the AST and instead put 125. It is the sign-up bonus there. It is 125% sign-up bonus there. As so you sign up, use promo code PewterC125, deposit $100. You get $125 in sign-up bonus money. So you're playing with $225 for just $100. Not a bad deal at all. And as you've seen Ren do, he is just on an absolute roll at BetUS.com. So again, go to BetUS.com, use promo code Pewter, PEWTERC125, and get a 125% sign-up bonus. BetUS.com, you bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS is the proud sponsor of PewterCast.
Also, right. Best way to support the show. All right. Going to Daniel. Daniel. Daniel, we can't see you. Hopefully you're there. So we're going to see how this works out. Daniel.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, man? All right, cool. Yes, he's playing. He's lurking in the shadows, everyone. He's protecting us from the shadows.
Yes, that's right. So being the last caller, does that mean that I get half of Ren's earnings from BetUS? Is that how this works?
You can try.
I mean, sure. Yeah, sure.
You can try.
I mean, I don't understand. Like, what is that? Hey, since I'm your last customer of the day, does that mean I get half of everything you were cashed for? Like, what are you talking about? Anyway.
Hey, you know, yeah. if he doesn't ask, Ren, the answer is always no.
That's right. Yeah, that's true.
Find the Charles Slim Sims clip, and if you find it, I'll give you $40.
That's right. Anyway, well, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Cool.
And so, thanks for letting me jump on really quick. A couple of things that I noticed from the game tonight. The first drive of the game, I absolutely loved the way that the offense was moving down the field. It was great to see O.J. Howard finally, kind of get a touchdown, get a little bit of recognition there. And, that play call where, offense was moving to the right side and O.J. sneaking over the top going to the left side was just great play calling by Leftwich. The fourth down call, I know it's already been talked about tonight, but, man, that was really, really head-scratching.
it was.
Well, and I know, we won, a win's a win, but, during the season, these calls like this can sneak up on really big games, really big important games, and decisions that are made like that could really, even though it didn't affect us today, in bigger games later down the road, like when we play the Bills or when we get into the playoffs, decisions like that could really make or break a game.
Mm-hmm. And so, agreed.
To me, seeing that tonight was just kind of head scratching there. But, nitpicky stuff. Love seeing Leonard Fournette breaking out again this week, getting, over 100 all purpose yards or 100 yards from scrimmage tonight. Mm-hmm. So just seeing all of that was really, really good. But, getting to me, the play calling got a little bit cute by Brock.
Yes.
By Byron. Leftwich and
they got a lead, and they're like, "Oh, let's try this, and let's try that, and let's try this," and it's like, then it didn't work, and then they come out in the second half and they go, "Okay, let's score, ding, 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 touchdown," and then I think they wanted one more before they started to try stuff again, and that's sort of like where they're like, "Oh God, we just get this one more right now instead of punting it, and then we can, can work some stuff out," and then Philly's back in it, and now you got to sort of, and then they dink, 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 and ran out the clock. So,
yeah,
they did. I'm glad someone else feels like they felt like they were getting cute or, doing things just to do them, or like, oh, I wonder how this play is going to work. We've practiced it enough, but I want to see it in action. I felt like that's kind of what was going on after it became apparent that, the Eagles couldn't move the ball at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, this is a little bit off topic here, but it's somewhat related. I'm a Georgia Bulldogs fan, and several years ago, when the Bulldogs was playing, I can't remember if it was the national championship or if it was the SEC championship against Alabama, when Kirby Smart called a fake punt and brought Justin Fields out onto the field, and I'm like, what are we doing? You know, and like, I mean, you want to talk about making an awful decision in the national spotlight. And again, I mean, it's like a plague with offensive coordinators, just trying to be cute when they're up by at least two scores. And, you know, if you got an offense the way the Bucs run, just like, you know, run it down their throats. You know, you got Tom Brady, the GOAT, you know, just do what you normally do. Be aggressive. Obviously, take care of the ball. But don't try to do all this weird crap where, you know, you're like you said, kind of, oh, well, you know, let's try this out, see if this works or whatever, because
they ran like a double motion jet sweep fake screen to Antonio Brown. And it was like what? Like, I mean, you know, it was cool to see, like, you know, like some motion in the offense, because it's gotten pretty stagnant. You know, they ran it a lot week one. And they ran a lot against, I guess, now if I think about it, they run it against good teams. when they think they don't need to, they don't. But I'm like, okay, that's cool to watch. But then, you know, now all of a sudden it's like 2nd and 12. And then, you know, Brady, like, sails one. And now it's like 3rd and 12. And it's like, did we really have to, like, you know, have to do all that? But again, you know, would I really be complaining if, like, Antonio Brown didn't kind of like catch his toe on the turf and was halfway being tackled when Maddox came up and got him, and he made Maddox miss, and now it's like 1st down on the other 30. Would I be going, you didn't need to do that double motion? So
right
it's all
being all nitpicky. But you know, going back to that 4th down call really quick, just, you know, a throw, you know, into double coverage, I don't know who he was throwing to. I can't remember.
Howard.
OJ Howard or
it was OJ Howard.
You know, the percentage, and I'm just thinking analytically here, you know, the percentage of, like, completion of that pass and double coverage probably had to have been, like, 5%. You know, I mean, if
well, OJ slowed down because he was in double coverage.
Right. But, and you know, what my point was going to be was, you know, if you're looking at, you know, in the middle of the field where you, I mean, all night the Eagles were giving up the middle of that field. And so, I mean, no, I'm sure, right. So I'm sure there was probably, I can't remember, I'm in the car right now, but I'm sure there was probably an opportunity for someone to be wide open right there in the middle of the field. But anyway, you know, I digress. But the last thing I want to mention before I get out of here is, man, I don't know what kind of voodoo magic our cornerback room has, like, been performing, but, like, But you know, these injuries are just killing us, man. I hope that the you know, Richard Sherman pulling his hammy, I hope that it's nothing too serious. But, you know, a hamstring strain is not something that you can just come back the next week. You know, it's something that you've got to really, really be careful with. So hopefully we can get Murphy Bunting back. If not next week, maybe the week after. But I don't know what's going on. Maybe we need to, you know, do like a seance or like, you know, like a rain dance or something to like stop these cornerbacks from getting hurt, man.
Need the Mr. Miyagi hands.
I think all the cornerbacks took a little sip of Jobu's rum, and that's what's happening.
Hey, bartender, Jobu needs a refill.
They're all going down. So either that or like, what's it in Bull Durham? Like they wanted to sacrifice a live chicken. Robert Walsh shows up with like a bucket of fried chicken. He goes, "Here you go."
it's best I can do on short notice.
Yeah, best I can do. That was it. So yeah, so that's what I'll do. If no one gets that $20 from me, I will send a bucket of chicken to the cornerback room for the Bucks and see if that breaks the curse. But
that's right.
Anyway.
But anyway, guys, well, thanks so much for having me on. Like I said, first time caller, and I really appreciate the opportunity. I'll be calling in hopefully later on down the road. But win's a win, you know, win's a win, pretty or not. So, but anyway, so appreciate it, guys, and go Bucks.
Yeah, go Bucks. Great call, Daniel. Call back anytime.
Appreciate it. Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
5-5-1. As Sam Weiss used to say.
Yeah, 5-1.
Although he was 5-2, And then that turned into 7-9. But that's not going to happen this year because they've got a hell of a lot more talent this year than Sam Weich ever thought of having. So,
sorry. Yeah, I was reading the chat.
That's sorry. Okay.
I do that. I do that from time to time. I remember Brent used to stop talking. I'd be like, what? Sorry, you talking?
No, I've got the chat in front of me as well. But we have gone over the hour mark. It is past 12:30.
It is.
That means we got to get out of here because yes. we got to work tomorrow.
Yes.
I got to be on Ronnie and T-Kraz at 7:30 tomorrow morning.
Oh, got to talk for 5 minutes, you poor baby.
I know. I know, but I got to talk about the Rays.
I told you I'm cranky. Yeah.
You are.
Are you gonna blast them?
I've already blown them up twice this week. So.
On the radio?
On the radio, yeah.
Okay.
I blew them up Wednesday on Pat and Aaron, so.
Okay.
But
I'm proud of you.
Hey, you know, I got to speak the truth. Got to speak the truth to power sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But, you know, but there's like speaking the truth, and then there's like Scott Smith, Buccaneers.com, speaking the truth. Like, I don't think Scott Smith lies, and I think he's not, well, obviously he's a homer, but he's not a shill for the team. Mm-hmm. But it's how you talk about it. You know, like not putting Wendell in defensively in game five, you know, like Scott Smith would be like, well, some fans would talk about that and, you know, and they may be right, but they may be wrong. You know, Wendell could have booted the ball too. And then you got the other people who are like, that don't work for the organizations. Like Wendell should have been there. It was stupid for him not to be there. It might've cost him the game, you know? So they're saying the same things, but two different ways. Yeah. And I like it when you're not the Scott Smith for the Rays, where, you know, because I feel that that's all I get is like well, but this and well, but the
oh no
well,
no I blew, up, I blew up I blew up the team, especially about Brandon Lau being left in the number three
why
spot.
The hell was he fucking batting?
I don't want to get into it. 39-99, but come on, he hadn't had a hit
39-99 in the regular season.
Yes,
and he had a postseason hit since. Ever. What was he like? He was like 13 for 79.
Yeah. He was 0 for his last 39 in the division series round. 0 for 39.
Best place to find me is on Twitter at the PeterCast. I'm always down to Buccaneers football, but if you don't feel like your tweet is too hot and don't want to put out a Twitter sphere, feel free to slide in my DMs and we can talk Buccaneers football there as well too.
Yep, and you can always make fun of me. As well, at Steve Carney on Twitter and Instagram. Check out stpete9.com.
Ask about Brandon Lau. He's very calm and logical about the whole
thing. Very calm and logical about Brandon Lau. By the way, the Dodgers beat the Giants. That just ended as well. So the Dodgers are on to the NLCS to face the Braves. We'll talk about that at stpete9.com and plenty more. Like, comment, subscribe on YouTube. Also, subscribe on whatever place you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, the iHeart Radio app. Leave us ratings and reviews in those places. Thank you to our sponsor, BetUS.com, and the Fansided Network for hosting us. And until next Wednesday.
Right? Oh, yeah. Get some days off. Yes.
Yes. We got some days off. There will be no Friday show, no Sunday show. Our next show is Wednesday. So until then, go buck yourself.